Okay, how about an hour of fun? Your phone calls with Mr. Lobo. We shall do that when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. We're with Mr. Lobo and your phone calls this hour as we talk about horror films, sci-fi. This is fun stuff, Mr. Lobo. I like this.
Absolutely. You got to have fun. It's vital, I think. The more intelligent you are, the more vital play is. I think that's a line from Star Trek.
Tell me about Blobfest. Exactly what happens there?
Blobfest is exciting. It's a three-day event, and it's one of my favorite things to do all year round. In Phoenixville and Coatesville and surrounding areas in Pennsylvania, they filmed the movie The Blob in 1958. And filmed in 57, this past summer would have been the 60th anniversary of the filming. And this year coming is the 60th anniversary of the actual film. But what happens at Blobfest every year is we kick it off with the run-out reenactment. Now, in the film, people were being chased by the blob out of a movie theater. And that movie theater in the film still stands. That's the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville. And so at a certain queue, and the fire department blocks off the street, everyone stands up in the movie theater and runs out the front doors out into the street. It's a great photo opportunity. And then the fire department comes in and blasts the blob with CO2. And it's just a marvelous thing. And then we have an actual chunk of the real blob that Wes Shank brings. It's a piece of silicone that they would put on top of models and things and film it stop motion. And that's the kickoff for the event. And then on Saturday, we do a street fair with classic cars and 50s style music. And there's a costume contest and horror movie workshops. And on Sunday, we show a new film that's retro styled with the director in attendance. So it's a 3-day event of retro fun. Mr. Lobo's the MC. I think Rico Browning might be with us this year from The Creature from the Black Lagoon again.
Oh, cool.
It's just a great, wonderful family event.
Why do we like to be scared?
You know, again, I think it's that thing we talked about before. You survive it, you know, it's tense. It's the tension and then the release. It's like while you're watching it, you're tense, but then afterwards you feel great. You get this rush. It's like the roller coaster. And like I said before, there's two kinds of roller coasters. You either kiss the ground and say, okay, I'm never getting on that.
Yeah, you got sick or something, right?
Right, you get sick. Or you go, you know what, that was so much fun. I feel great. I survived it. Let's get on it again. Let's do this thing again. Why not?
Right.
It's far less, a lot more manageable than the fears that we have in the real world, certainly.
Let's go to the phones. Alex, truck driving in Virginia, first-time caller. Hello, Alex. Go ahead.
Morning, George. Morning, Lobo.
Hi there.
Greetings.
Hey, I wanted to try to stump you with my favorite horror film, 1977, James Brolin, Kathleen Lloyd. It happened in the desert.
James Brolin? 1977? Let me think here.
We stumped you already?
I know it. We're so early.
Good thing we're not giving away prizes.
Is it Empire of the Ants? I don't know. What's the film?
No, The Car.
Oh, The Car. Yeah, that was made for TV. Absolutely. Wasn't it?
I saw that when I was 7 years old in the drive-in theater. When it
oh, wow.
It scared my pants off. And now if you watch it, it's kind of... Because I showed it to my daughters a couple years ago, and they're like, really, Dad, this isn't scary.
Yeah, The Car was really the star of that movie. And you know what? That wasn't made for TV. It was Killdozer that was made for TV. The Car was
right.
Was theatrical. But yeah, it was a scary-looking car. Do you know what kind of car that was?
It was
a 66 Lincoln. It was they remodified it and put these big bumpers on it and lowered the top on it and...
Yeah, I think they took the headlights off, too, right? It didn't have any headlights.
No, it had headlights.
Oh, it did?
It did.
It had headlights. It did. But they lowered the top on it, darkened out the glass, and they put these big bumpers on it and stuff like that, big motor in it.
Sometimes
I wondered if
you see it at auto shows and stuff. Sometimes.
And Brolin was the sheriff, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Boy, I'd love to see that again. Thanks for bringing that one up. That one I probably haven't seen since 1977, to be honest.
Here's what the subheading says about this film. A mysterious black sleek automobile terrorizes everyone it comes into contact with. In a small town in Utah, the local sheriff may be the only person who can stop this menace.
Which has been possessed by pure evil.
Ah, you're on the same side I am. The director is... Do you know who the director was?
The director is Elliot Silverstein, which I've never heard of.
You're good. You're good. Next up, we go to Ed in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Eddie, take it away.
Yeah. A couple of movies I want to run past you guys. Here's a real old one called It Came from Beneath the Sea. The giant octopus that comes up out of the ocean. It wraps its tentacles around its city.
Yeah, it's a stop-motion creature, and I believe that the octopus in that film did not, because it was so expensive to animate, they gave him six legs instead of eight.
1955 movie.
When I was a kid, that movie just scared me to death when I was a kid. But fast forward to Stephen King. I'm a Stephen King fan. I've got almost every movie Stephen King's ever done, and one of them that I just absolutely, I listen to it about once a month, I plug it in. It's called The Stand, Stephen King.
Yes, they did a TV movie with The Stand, which wasn't as good.
Excellent. And another one, of course, The Langoliers. That was a good one he did. And now
The Langoliers, I like seeing Balky in the TV version of that. Bronson Pinchot, I thought he was actually very, kind of a creep in that, but very, very well done.
Well, Stephen King was pretty sharp. I mean, he was kind of a strange character. I mean, if you ever see him in person, like in The Stand, you know, he makes an appearance at the very last of the film, you know. I think
he popped into a lot of his.
My favorite appearance of Stephen King is in Creepshow, where he's Jody Verrill, and he touches the meteor, and that grass grows all over him, and he becomes.
Let me ask you something. The movie It that you guys are talking about.
Yes, the new one.
The new version.
He done that originally several years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, this is the newer version of the
same
movie.
Yeah, the original version was made for television. It was a miniseries.
Yeah,
and it was condensed into for VHS. They condensed it into a film.
Well, now refresh my memory. Now I don't have a copy of the original It.
Yes.
But now wasn't it a stone that was out in the woods, and everybody that goes back there and touches that stone, they possess this power that allows them to invent all kinds of technology.
No, it was about a clown.
It was about a clown.
It was about a clown. Yes, yes. It was always about Pennywise the clown.
Okay.
With his sharp, jagged teeth.
Right.
Sharp, jagged teeth. Yes, and the basically he's luring the children down into the sewer.
I don't like clowns.
No.
Maybe it was his original movie. Maybe that's what did it to me. What time did when did that come?
I always had a psychological fear of. I think people have been scared of clowns for a long time, which is why that was so effective.
Remember the serial killer John Wayne Gacy dressed up as a clown when he went to get people?
Yes. And those pictures of him as a clown are horrifying.
Yes, they sure are. Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Welcome to the program, Frank. Go ahead.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you.
Hello there.
It's always a pleasure to hear from you. And
thank you,
George, for that Richard Allen's old Donna. It gets more beautiful every time you hear it.
Sure it does.
My thing, Tom Cruise definitely was, I'm sorry, Brad Pitt was definitely in that movie.
Aha. Okay. There you go.
Right.
I win.
This is
you win. You get the pot. How much is in that jar now?
I only saw 2 minutes of it. I don't like vampire movies. When I turned Coast to Coast off one time in 10 years that I've been calling because they were talking about vampires. There's only one significant vampire, and that's Barnabas Collins on the old Dark Shadows ABC television series. The only vampire of any significance.
Played by Jonathan Frid, I think.
Yes. Yes.
And then I want to ask you, Mr. Lobo, a question. The actor, Ludacris, who was in the Fast and Furious movies, he made a part of a horror movie. In the movie, he said a classic line. He said, "Something around here is eating people." Now, that the way he said it was so classic. It's right up there with... Charlotte, I don't give a damn, and Gone with the Wind. Clark Gable. They'll never give him credit for it.
Yeah.
He did a show the other day about classic phrases and sayings in movies, but they'll never give him credit for it. They're going to always go with the older films, but the way he said it, it was something killing people and eating. Do you have any idea what this film is, or what the name of this film is?
This is Ludacris, who was in the Fast and the Furious.
What was the name of that one? You've been stumped again.
Horror film. Gosh darn it. What was that film that he was in?
What year might that have been?
Was it The Feast? I'm not certain. I have to... do we know the year on that film? Probably not.
No. What was the name of it? That's what we don't know, right?
That's the part we don't
Thanks,
know.
Ryan.
I'm trying to think if he was in the feast, but I don't know if that was the. I don't know if that's the right one or not.
How many Fast and Furiouses did they have?
There's so many. I know they're at 7 or 8, right? They're Fast and Furious, and then the one actor passed, and then they like used his brother and CG to put him in the most current one.
Did you know there were other movies from called Fast and Furious from 1939?
Yeah, Roger Corman produced one of the versions of Fast and Furious.
And this one came out, the original was in 2001 with Vin Diesel and Paul Walker. Paul Walker's the one who died, right?
Yeah.
He died in that car crash.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a sad story.
But I'm not sure what the film with Ludacris is. I'm trying to remember now, but I cannot. I'm sorry.
But I don't think he was in Fast and Furious, was he?
Ludacris. Well, there's so many of them. There's 8 movies.
He was not in the 2001 version.
So there's so many Fast and Furious, so he could have made, but Ludacris did the theme, I think. I think Ludacris did the theme to the Fast and Furious.
You mean the music?
He did the music. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think he did the main title for that.
Maybe that's easy to find, isn't it? Now the music was by somebody called BT.
Well, there are a lot of songs in the film, so perhaps there was a song in there.
Let's move on to a few others. Carl in North Carolina, welcome to the program. Hi, Carl. Go ahead.
George, thanks for taking my call. Great show as usual.
Thank you, sir.
How you doing, Mr. Lobo? Hey, I love those 70s movies from like the British studios where it would say filmed at such and such, Twickenham or wherever, whatever film or whatever
Great.
Studio. Like
Elstree, yeah.
Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee. I used to go see them when I was a kid. I think those guys stack up just as well. I know they're not considered as great as Karloff and Lugosi, and how about Vincent Price, House of Wax? That's one of my favorites.
House of Wax was the first 3D film.
Do you remember Chamber of Horrors also? Wasn't there a movie called Chamber of Horrors with Patrick McNee?
There was a film called Chamber of Horrors, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm not trying to stump you, but I know you got a lot of callers, but I'm not trying to stump you, but I've been trying to find a movie. I remember it as a kid, and I can't even find a clip from it on YouTube. It was called The Crawling Hand.
Yes, The Crawling Hand. I do remember that film.
His hand came back.
That film scared the crap out of me as a little
kid.
His
hand went around strangling people and doing all kinds of nefarious things. And
I think that might have been...
It was the hand of a dead astronaut.
I think it was like in the mid-60s, early 60s.
It was 1963. Very good.
Right. So I love stuff like that with like Nicholson being in the horror, and you talked about The Blob already. So we just love being scared, man.
You can find it on Amazon.com, by the way.
Okay, thanks, George.
Okay, they'll have it.
Yeah, The Crawling Hand's a great one.
The hand of a dead astronaut comes crawling back from the grave to strangle the living. Why would they pick a dead astronaut?
Because it was the early 60s, and everything either was atomic or came from space.
Well, that's true, too. Let's go next to Steve in Carmel Valley, California. Welcome to the program, Steven. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, George.
Sure.
Hey, man. Hey, Mr. Lobo. Yeah, anyway, this movie came out in 81, and I think this is like the coolest special effects I've ever seen. And see if you can figure this one out. There was this one scene where the guy's neck stretches up the table, and his head becomes detached.
Sure, you're talking about the Thing.
That's it, man. Then the spider legs come out, and his head walks away.
Yeah, John Carpenter's version of the Thing.
That was great.
Which is closer to the book Who Goes There, which is what the Howard Hawks version of the Thing is based on.
And the prequel was pretty good too. I mean, it's just unreal.
The prequel did not grab me, I must say, but you know, I keep trying, keep making them.
But the original,
I'll try another thing. They just gotta get it right.
Yeah. The original Thing was great too. You know, it had that 50s genre and all that. You know.
They had all that candid dialogue where the dialogue was overlapping, and
yeah.
That was very unusual. You know, usually in people in movies they spoke almost like they as if they were doing radio. You know,
right.
And then the original thing, the dialogue, the banter was especially candid, and that was very unusual for that film, and it gave it a realism that movies of that time did not have.
Yeah, and it was dark and had all the shadows, and James Arness played the Thing. He was the Thing.
Yeah, his giant carrot gets electrocuted.
That's right. Okay, thanks, George.
All right, you got it. What is our fascination with these old films? I mean, the phone board is just packed with people.
They stay with us, you know, and I think there's a couple of things. You know, a lot of times people say the movies were better when we were kids. I think we were better when we were kids. We were more open. It's a time, a coming of age. We're trying to find ourselves, separate ourselves from our parents' likes and interests, and we find these things, and we discover them, and I think we cherish them. And I think also, too, all of the abstractions make you want like them more because you fill in those gaps. If it's black and white, then everything are the colors that you imagine and the colors of your reality. And if you don't see the monster that much, then you imagine what the monster looks like. And that bond is really strong. You're more than watching it. You're reading it. You're pouring your reality into it because there's room for you to imagine. You know, they throw you the beach ball and you get to throw it back at them, and it's very interactive in that way.
How long is your program on the Roku? OSI 74. How long's the show?
It's a 2-hour program.
Some
of them are 2.5.
That's actually pretty intense.
Yeah, it is intense. I do 18 to 22 wraparounds, which I think is more than any other horror host does.
That is a lot. Do you write them yourself?
I do. I do get some help, especially since I've been doing the show for so long. I kind of have a cadre of creeps who will email me jokes and things. But for the most part, front to back, it's my humor and my material.
What do you do for Christmas?
Well, we have a black Christmas tree.
Oh, boy. Sacrilegious.
We hang little pumpkins on it. We do hang stockings, but there are feet in them.
I bet they are, or hands.
Yes.
Something like that. All right, stay with us, Mr. Lobo. We're going to come back in just a moment and wrap things up with final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back to our final segment here on Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with Mr. Lobo, who's getting ready for Halloween. Where do you dress up, Mr. Lobo, or what do you wear on that day?
You know, unfortunately, I don't ever get to dress up very much because usually people want Mr. Lobo to be Mr. Lobo. But I am doing a private party on the 28th where they're doing a Twin Peaks theme, and so I'm going to be Dr. Jacoby, Mr. Lobo.
Ha-ha.
But which is exciting because I don't ever get to dress up. But I tell you this. Well, really quickly, I want to address the gentleman who called earlier about Ludacris. Chris Parker. He is in at least 7 of the Fast and Furious movies. There's a guy named Kej, and he was in a horror film called Superstition 3, or Superstition: The Rule of Threes, something like that. Superstition: The Rule of Threes. So that's the horror film with Ludacris, Superstition.
How much do these actors get paid for the B-type movies?
It depends on the B-movie. I mean, some people are just working for lunch.
For scale, right?
Working for scale, you know. I worked on a horror movie where they, you know, it was whatever, $330 a day plus food, you know. But then, of course, you have people like, you know, Bruce Campbell, who makes millions. So it just goes.
Does he really?
I don't know if he makes millions. He might make thousands.
It may be a percent of the take, huh?
Yeah, perhaps, perhaps. And if you work it out, you get points on the movie. I worked with a guy who was his name was Robert Clark, different Robert Clark, not the actor Robert Clark. This Bob Clark was a stuntman. He was the Gorn in Star Trek. Captain Kirk fights the Gorn on that desert planet at Bronson Canyon. And he, the most money he ever made was the royalty for Buck Rogers in the 21st Century, because he's falling off a horse, and as Buck Rogers is falling through time, you see him falling off that horse every time that show is played. So every time anyone is watching Buck Rogers in the 25th Century anywhere, he was getting a check for falling off that horse, and that was the most money he ever made, was just being a guy falling off a horse in the opening of Buck Rogers.
You've been on some documentaries on horror hosts, haven't you?
Quite a few. American Scary, Virginia Creepers. I was a consultant on Watch Horror Films, Keep America Strong. There's a horror series I just did, Monsters Among Us. There's a lot of documentaries, tons.
Okay, let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, Kevin in Titusville, Florida is with us now. Hey, Kev, go ahead.
Hey, George. It's good to talk to you again, brother.
You too, my friends. Thanks for holding, too. Really,
yes, sir. Mr. Lobo, you're awesome. Yeah, I was thinking
about
the girl, just real quickly before I get to my movie, the girl, who's the foxy chick with the black hair? You know what I mean? The national.
You're talking about Karen Black?
No, I mean just the one who did what you do, I think.
Oh, Elvira. Yeah. I was seeing a horror host, Elvira, or Vampyra. Vampyra was from the 50s, and Elvira was from the 80s.
Yeah, she was just so funny and cute, and yeah. So anyway, I'm gonna give you a little hint, and maybe you can tell me the movie.
Okay.
Roadside Motel. The food comes from the patrons, unfortunate patrons.
Is it Motel Hell?
Yes.
What a great movie that is.
Happy as hell, but you got to see it, man. I mean,
meat's meat and man's got to eat.
Interesting take.
That's a great, yeah, he's like a farmer. He's like a, what's the sausage brand with the farmer, like Farmer John or whatever? I can't remember.
Jimmy Dean.
There's a billboard on the highway, you know, and I forget what it just reminds me of. I live in Florida, in Cocoa, Florida. There's this restaurant that's still there.
Yes,
and it's I forget the name of the restaurant, but it has a rail car, and inside and outside they have a sign. They're popular. It's Grandpa's Restaurant, Grandpa's Steakhouse. Okay,
yep.
And you can't beat Grandpa's meat. It's something like that, you know.
Yeah, meat's meat and man's got to eat is one of the things that's said. And then there's something. With Farmer John's Fritters or something. There's a rhyme with that too, but basically they were taking the patrons from the hotel and turning them into sausage.
How successful was the chainsaw franchise?
Extremely successful. I mean, it's interesting because Texas Chainsaw the original, you know, they were hoping for a PG rating, and if you watch that movie, there really is no swearing, there's no gratuitous nudity, there really isn't a lot of blood, but psychologically it was so different, and the implications of what was happening in that movie were so severe that it just turns the whole world on its ear and spawned all the Halloweens and Friday the 13th and everything that were to come after it. And they did the Texas Chainsaw 2 with Dennis Hopper, which was, a great, actually a comedy, believe it or not. And then they've had several that have gone on to this, you know, currently. I mean, there's brand new Texas Chainsaws from the past, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. So.
What was Freddy Krueger? Nightmare on Elm Street? Was he
Nightmare
in those?
Nightmare on Elm Street, yeah. Yes. Wes Craven, who, of course, did Last House on the Left and Swamp Thing and so many horror genre films. And Nightmare on Elm Street was really robust. And then they tried to reboot it with Billy Bob Thornton. It did not do well. It tanked.
Hmm.
So they're still hoping to bring back that, but they had that one really. That the heyday of Freddy Krueger was the 80s.
And who played Freddy Krueger?
Robert Englund.
Yeah.
He was on V. Remember that series?
I do. But that made a name for himself, didn't it?
It did. It made him one of our genre greats. You know, I think people put him right alongside Karloff and those guys, because most horror villains today, you don't know who they are. It's just a guy behind a mask.
Exactly.
With a knife. So he was really the only one who, you know who he is.
I say the same thing. We have a buddy named Robert Davi. He's an actor. I don't know if you know Robert or not. But if you Googled his picture, you'll know exactly who he is, because he's in practically every movie. He was in Goonies. He's been all over the place, but nobody knows his name.
Oh,
Google his picture. You're next to a computer, right?
I am.
Google Robert Davi, D-A-V-I.
Oh, yeah.
See his face?
You know what? I've never heard the name said out loud. I've only seen it in credits. But sure, Robert Davi, he's in Die Hard. He's in everything. Yes, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Exactly.
Yes.
See?
My gosh. Yeah, what a fine actor.
I first met him, I was at a restaurant, and he looked at me and said, "You're George Norrie." And I looked at him and said, "Who are you? I know your face."
Oh, yeah. I mean, boy, yeah, exactly. You know, there's some of these character actors. I think, I'm looking at his IMDb now. I mean, that guy's been in 150 movies.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah,
150 movies. That's right up there with Vincent Price and Bella and all those guys.
That's right. Patty in San Diego's with us, west of the Rockies. Hi, Patty. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My family owned 4 movie theaters in Dallas as I was growing up, and the Queen Elite star in the Dixie. In fact, one of those theaters in Oak Cliff was where they picked up the guy that had assassinated Kennedy, but that's not what I called
the Oswald story. Oh, wow.
The kid was Men with the Atomic Brain, the original them, and there's a couple of more. But those kind of got me, because
I love the Atomic Brain. Them is really great too, you know.
Them was a great movie. Did those theaters make money, Patty?
War of the Worlds. Fascinating.
Patty, did those theaters make money in those days?
Oh, sure. Even after everything was closed up, you know, us little kids, sisters, could run up and down the aisles, and we'd pick up pennies and wallets and rosaries.
That's wonderful.
All kinds of things.
They just opened another drive-in here in Pennsylvania, in Mahoning Drive-In, and there's a, you know, it's wonderful that we're living in a time where people would even think of opening a drive-in.
There aren't many drive-ins left. I mean, the land is too expensive. It's they make more money selling it and turning it into some building.
Yeah, it's too bad, because I love a drive-in. It's like camping for nerds. It's wonderful.
Next up, we go to Phil, truck driving in Ohio. Philip, go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Mr. Lobo.
Hi, Phil.
Good morning, Phil.
Hey, I just wanted to say, when I was growing up, we had a late-night TV host, and it was, of course, you know, TV shut off at a certain time, and the broadcast shut off. It was called Fritz the Night Owl.
Fritz, I've met Fritz. He's wonderful.
Yep, I loved him growing up, and I tease my kids and joke, because everybody's got satellite and everything now, and I can remember having to go out on the back porch and take in my hand and turn the antenna to get 13 and 10. And
wow.
To this day, they're like, "Oh, Dad, you did not." I'm like, "Sure did." But another thing I want to ask you is, if you ever heard of a B-flick movie called Midnight Movie?
A B-flick movie called Midnight Movie? Yes, I have heard of that.
That is a really good movie, and I recommend it.
By Wade Williams, if I'm not mistaken.
What's that about, yeah, Philip?
It's actually about a killer in a movie, and what happens is, he feeds off the people's fear in the audience, and it brings him to life, and then he comes out of the picture, and he starts killing everybody, and they have to fight him, and it's kind of got a little bit of Friday the 13th in it. The storyline and everything. So I think
I think that also is called Midnight Movie. I think there's a few movies with that title. But yeah, that's a great one too, and it has a few surprises in it. And about Fritz the Night Owl, I got to meet him a few years ago. He was a great horror host. He did one of the voices for Green Lantern, one of the animated
versions of
Green Lantern. But he Fritz wore these giant glasses that made him look like he had these huge eyes, and they had these sparkly things on them, and he would have a star filter. And he said that, you know, Mr. Lobo, with your glasses, we should film your show with a star filter, because it makes these giant glints of flashing off your glasses, and it really freaks out the dopers.
What's the future of horror films, Mr. Lobo?
The future of horror films. Well, I think the future of horror films is they're gonna be leaner and meaner. I think you're gonna see a lot of low budget horror film, direct to streaming horror films, and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of them. And I think that we're gonna have to rely on people's word of mouth of telling which ones are good and which ones to avoid, like the Black Death, because I think we're on like 7 or 8 Sharknadoes now. So I feel like that there's a lot of potential out there, but there's going to be it's exciting that movies can be made so cheaply and can go directly to audiences, but there's going to be a lot of dreck to wade through.
Wayne in Pensacola, Florida is with us now. Hey Wayne, go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good,
I love
Wayne.
Your show, Nori.
Thank you, sir.
The movie that scared the heck out of me when I was a kid was the original Hills Have Eyes.
Oh, it's terrifying. Absolutely.
What was so scary about that?
Has a great, wonderful head. You're out in the middle of the desert, and some weird nuclear redneck family tries to eat you. It's terrible.
Tries to eat you?
Yeah, they're cannibals.
Did you ever see the movie Escape from Whoop Whoop?
Escape from Whoop Whoop? You just made that up, George.
No, I'm pretty sure that's the name of it. It was made in Australia, and it was all these people who worked there on a processing. They would feed kangaroos to dogs, and they'd make dog food out of kangaroos. But some guy got stuck down there, and they wouldn't let him go.
Uh-huh.
It was the weirdest movie I've ever seen.
Wow. That's so
other than The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
Yeah, you don't like that one. I feel like that's one of the worst movies you've seen.
Yes.
You've been blessed. You've led a blessed life if that's the worst.
Yeah, that's one of the bad ones, I think. And almost a minute to go. Let's wrap things up. Where can people watch you do your thing?
Certainly, yes. Roku and online. OSI-74 is the channel. Cinema Insomnia. I'm still on broadcast stations via AMG TV and syndication, so maybe your rabbit ears can still get me, depending on where you live. I've got a Halloween CD called Horrible Noises of Mr. Lobo's Very Bad Manner. I've got a new spoken word CD called Hypnosis for Hipsters. I've got a comic book called Bizarre Dimensions.
Oh, my gosh, you're an enterprise.
I've got DVDs, I got everything. I got stickers, I got buttons. You want it, I got it.
And you go to some live events, too, don't you?
Yes, I'm going to be at the Anthony Wayne Theater at the end of the month for Halloween, all kinds of stuff, yes.
Okay, my friend.
And Blobfest, please come see me at Blobfest.
Mr. Lobo, always a pleasure. Have a happy Halloween.
Have a happy, the happiest and horriblest of Halloweens to you, George. You're one of my favorite people in the world, and what you do is very important, and a lot of people really appreciate you, and it's just so great to know that you're just ruling the airwaves.
Ditto, my friend. Be well. Mr. Lobo. God, he's always fun to talk about with movies, isn't he? For Dan Galante, Michael Cosio, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.